everyone. I hope that you're having a good morning so far. We're going to go through Psalm chapter 13. And so it's a very short psalm. And so if we can turn there, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have overcome him. Lest my adversaries rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. This is one of the Psalms of David that's actually a pretty popular theme, per se. And it's really what they consider like a transition psalm. In other words, David goes from discouragement and despair, but then he finishes in a place of trust, joy, and encouragement. And so this is very typical of a lot of David's psalms in this way, that we see a transition happens in David, and then it could give us a lot of insight into our own lives. So let's try to break this down quickly. He starts off and he says, "How long, O Lord?" And it seems that probably every single one of us, we've asked this question at one time or another. There was some point of our life where we felt that maybe that God neglected us, that God had forgotten about us, and we've been waiting a long time. And even some of us, even now, are waiting a long time for God to do what needs to be done. It's interesting. Spurgeon once said that every reader of this psalm can resonate with this, because every reader at some point in their life will ask this question: if this person was a man after the Lord's own heart. And so this is, in other words, what Spurgeon and what David is saying, it's not a result of someone's sin or their own sin or anything, but this is just a part of our spiritual life, that there'll be moments of our lives where we'll ask, Lord, how long? You know, how long will this happen? But if you really are a person who really seeks after God, you will have these moments in our life. I mean, I've had these moments. I'm sure, you know, so many of us, we can recall these moments that we had where we said, Lord, how long? You know, how long will you wait? How long will we stay in this place? And, you know, this phrase, how long, you know, it's repeated four times here in this psalm. And it's a very intense desire for God to move. It's a deep anguish of our hearts. It's not easy to get out of this mindset. And if you think about it, it's really the fact that we don't know when it ends. You know, if you think about it, we can endure almost anything when we know the end time. If we know, like, okay, I'm gonna suffer and struggle, I'm gonna go through this week, but at the end of the week, it's gonna be like this. I mean, think about it, like fasting is like this. Even though it's not easy, it's difficult. We know, hey, it's 21 days, and then after 21 days, then you know we can go back to eating food and those things. And so, because there's an end line, that there's a drive to get to that point. But we know that a lot of times, especially what David's dealing with, there is no end line. There is no finish line to this. And so you could see the anguish that's happening here. And he asks the question, he says, will you forget me forever? You know, how long will you hide your face from me? And this is the pain in David's heart from a sense that God had forgotten about him, and that God was in some ways maybe distancing himself from him. You know, if you think about it, David had faced a lot worse circumstances, but he faced them more bravely when he knew he had a sense that the presence of God was with him. Yet now in this situation, he feels very distant from God, And so it didn't really take much to send David into this place of despair. And it's a real place, brothers and sisters. In fact, if you really think about it, you know, the final absence of God is what we call hell. Let me just read you a verse. This is in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. He says, "These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." And Paul is really describing what hell is. Hell is really the absence of God. I mean, that's really, you know, fire and brimstone, heat, torment. I'm sure there's those elements, but the real heart of it is that this is where God is absent. It's the absence of God. And so in that way, you can see hell is really a just punishment or a just circumstance for people who on earth live their life as if God doesn't exist. So, you know, so I don't know why people get so upset. You know, why would God send me to hell? Well, you chose hell already in the sense that you live your life as if God doesn't exist. And so you're going to just spend eternity in that reality. And I mean, it's really, it makes, I don't know, to me, it makes perfect sense. I'm sure for others, people struggle with it. But he continues on and he says, you know, how will you forget and you hide your face? You know, of course, God did not forget David. You know, God did not hide his face from David, but David felt like it. And when we have such strong feelings, the feelings create really their own reality in our lives. David felt that God had forgotten him, that God was hiding from him. And so, in a sense, it was true for David. But this is a key. True according to feelings, but not according to fact. This is how we have to live our life. You can live your life based on feelings, or you can live your life based on fact. And so there's a balance to these things. You know, some people, they ignore feelings altogether, and they think that feelings should have nothing to do with our relationship with God. And this is not right. You know, we God has given us these feelings as an expression of his image, because we're all made in the image of God. We feel anger, we feel love, we feel sorrow. There's so many of these feelings because God feels those things. We're created in his image. Feelings, in a sense, are a gift of God and a sign that we're made in his image, but we're not to be controlled by our feelings. Like, because on the other side, some live their lives ruled by their feelings. They believe whatever reality their feelings present them, that's it. The problem is that even though we have these feelings and we are created in the image of God, our feelings are affected by our fallenness, by our sinful nature. And because of that, we can't trust our feelings because of this. It was all right for David to feel these things and good to take them to God, but he should never accept the feelings or the reality of the feelings as real reality. And so that is something that we need to really think about when we think about our relationship with God. Then he continues on, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" And you think about this. No wonder David was discouraged. He took counsel in his own soul, and that had led him to sorrow in his heart every single day. If you think about this, you know, when we have become discouraged or depressed, the answer is not to look inside myself and try to figure it out. The answer is in looking to the Lord. We find this true. You know, many times when we're confronted with our own problems, you know, the more we think about our problems, the more depressed that we can get. But instead, when we pray about our problems, God gives us his peace. And this is I mean, this is a really good word for us. When you're dealing with things, don't go into yourself. Look up to God. When we go into ourselves, it makes us even more depressed. He continues on and he asks the Lord, "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" And you know, this this mentions really the third way that David was depressed. The first was in his relationship with God. The second was within himself. And the third was in regard to his enemies. You'll find that his relationship with God, enemies, this seems to be a common theme that's woven through a lot of his psalms. And so he says, so he turns out to the Lord, says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God." David didn't mean two different things. When he said, "Consider and answer me," he used the Hebrew method of repetition to show emphasis. David desperately cried out to God, asking the Lord to answer him. And this is one of these mysteries about prayer. You know, God often waits until our prayers are desperate before he answers us. You know, it's probably because often we almost pray with an attitude of wanting God to care about things that we don't really care too much about. But it's the desperate prayers that really bring this out. In other words, it's not desperate prayer has power in of itself, because you think about, oh, we're persuading a reluctant God. Instead, what desperate prayers do, it demonstrates that our heart cares passionately about the thing God cares about. And it's a lot like what RT talked about during our conference, you know, try tears. There's something about that desperation. It doesn't twist God's arm. We're not trying to convince a reluctant God. It's nothing like that. But I think desperation shows that we care about it. You know, if you think about it, a lot of times we're praying to God and asking him to care about stuff that we don't really care too much about at all. I mean, let's just be really honest sometimes with our prayer life. And so David is coming to this place, and he's finally becoming desperate. And so and then he prays an awesome prayer. He says, "Lord, enlighten my eyes." David had enough wisdom to know that he had these powerful feelings that were drowning him, and he wasn't really seeing reality. And so he cried out, "Lord, enlighten my eyes." This is a great, great prayer that we should all pray. This is a prayer that we should all be meditating on in a regular basis. The Apostle Paul prays this prayer in Ephesians 1. He says this, and he said that he prayed for the Christians that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Notice that he prayed, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And so this is the same prayer that David prayed, and Paul asked all the church to pray this prayer. And it's a powerful prayer that we should pray. And then he continues on in verse 4, and it says, "Lest my enemies say I've overcome him, lest my adversaries rejoice when I am shaken." You know, David knew that one of the worst parts about losing to anyone is hearing them boast after he was defeated. And he did not want his enemies to rejoice that he was being brought low in this place. And knowing that his enemies would gloat over his fall, David was even more determined not to be shaken. And so a major turn happens here in 5 and 6. He says, "But I have trusted in thy loving kindness." David, after his prayer, he came to the place of confidence. Notice it's I have trusted. It speaks in the past tense. It's as if David remembered that he really did trust God. And that trust cleared away the fog from his sleepy eyes so that God can enlighten his eyes. And he says, it's in your loving kindness or in your mercy. At this place of discouragement, David could not trust in God's justice or in God's law and God's holiness. Those things might condemn him because of his feelings that he had said that made him not see clearly, but he could always trust in God's loving kindness. Like I said, when you can't trust in anything else, trust in God's mercy. If there's anyone in the world that you had to throw yourself at for mercy, man, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "My heart will rejoice in thy salvation." Now Jesus was still in the realm of feelings, right? But now these are positive feelings. he directed his feelings instead of having his feelings directed towards him. He says he shall rejoice. He told his heart, let's start rejoicing. Let's worship the Lord. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice in him. And what for? In our salvation. This is what David rejoiced in. If he could rejoice in nothing else, he can rejoice that God had saved him. This is solid ground for any of us. If you are saved, you can rejoice and tell your heart to start rejoicing and praising the Lord by doing what? By singing to the Lord. David knew rejoicing was a wonderful expression in singing. So he would sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord would both express his joy and his celebration of what God has done. And because the end here, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Isn't that a beautiful way to end? You know, as David thought about it, remember, he's thinking, God, where are you? And then he realized, actually, Lord, you've been really, really good to me. You know, if we will only stop and think, you know, every person on this earth has reason to rejoice because in some way, God has been good to all of us. You know, before God can enlighten our eyes, we must agree that we don't see everything very clearly. We need to realize that our feelings are not giving us a full and accurate picture of what's going on. But if we'll do this, if we cry out to the Lord, he will open our eyes and bring us from a place of despair to a place of trust and a place of joy and a place of his presence. Amen. What a beautiful psalm this morning, Psalm 13. So let's close our eyes. Let's go before the Lord. You know, are you judging your circumstances based on your feelings? Are you just taking it inwardly like David did, and instead of taking it upwardly to God, who can give us inspiration and hope? You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let the Holy Spirit just whisper into our hearts. Let him minister. And let's just give him our feelings and ask God to move on our behalf. Let's ask God to open our eyes that we can see what's really going on. As we sing, let's meditate on that.
Only to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In your presence at your throne, I call, you answer. And you came to my rescue and I wanna be where you are. I call, you answered, and you came to my rescue and I wanna be where you came to my rescue and I wanna be where you
are. Well, let's pray, huh? Let's go before the Lord and let's just give him our feelings. Let's ask God to open our eyes that we would see, not just with our feelings and not go inward, but really pray and bring our situations and circumstances before the Lord. Let's just meditate. Let's just pray about that for a moment before we get into our corporate prayer. Let's pray for our community that's battling through cancer and going through chemo and therapies. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life over this nation. Let's pray for our churches in Beijing and in Shanghai. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his team, family. Pray for Pastor Ricky and his team and family. Let's lift up the Chungs and let's just pray for churches all over that the gospel will be proclaimed powerfully. Let's pray for China and our friends. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to just use these men and women of God to lead our church, to pray over our church, to make sound, wise decisions. And let's just pray for the Spirit of the Lord to just touch the families. Let's lift up. Let's cover our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for our young adults, our men's ministry, our women's ministry, the different meetings, prayer meetings, Pure Desire, Oasis. Let's just lift them up and pray that they would draw close to God and to each other. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Let's pray for our vision fund and a benefactor. Let's ask God to move on our behalf on this. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight, Blue Pool, Fortress, Happy River Valley, Lido, Line Rock, New Conduit, TST, Ventures, and Westfield. Let's pray for our leaders and our hosts and that they would lead with anointing, with grace. Let's pray the members would really draw near to God and to each other. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray that the cases will continue to go down. Pray that things will start opening up a bit more, that we'll be able to gather together as a church and even in our house churches. Let's pray for the sick to be made well. Let's lift up our city. Go to our member focus, and let's pray for Joan Chin from King's Court. Pray for dad's healing and recovery from her stroke. Pray for God's covering protection of her whole family and salvation of sisters and extended family. Let's lift up Joan. Let's pray for Angela Chin from Lido. Pray for family salvation. Pray for sensitivity to God's voice, heart, and leading. And for the catering, single moms and kids to know Him as Lord and Papa. Let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for the Psalm of David, God, and how he, Lord, transitions from despair, God, to rejoicing and joy. And Lord, we can see through this Psalm exactly how that happened, God, that he came to himself, Lord, instead of looking to you, Lord God. And he based everything on his feelings, Lord, instead of on the truth, the fact of who you are, God. And I pray, Lord, that as he prays the prayer, God, open our eyes. I pray that we pray the same prayer. Lord, open our eyes, Lord, that we can really see the reality of what's really going on and give us reason to have joy and rejoice in you. Thank you, God. Watch over us today. Help us to glorify your Son, God, in everything that we do and say, Lord. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, God bless you. Please enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. Take care. Bye.